On Friday afternoon, I had an opportunity to go out with Pastor and do some visiting, some house visits, and there was very few people home. Very, very quiet tour around Mount Gambier. But one place we did go was Rest Haven. And for most of you who know Brother Garth, wasn't that long ago he used to sit in the services and quote scriptures and quote hymns that he'd memorised over the years. And I just often think, you know, he doesn't really talk about much else, but that's all he knew. Fairly simple sort of man. And we went to the Rest Haven there, and here he is. He's in some sort of reclining chair and recognised Pastor and didn't really know many names. He saw me and asked my name, and I think he asked my name about five times. But one thing he did say a number of other times, he said, "Well, to be truthful, I just want to go home. I just want to see the Lord. That's all I really want to do." And you know, sometimes in this life, it becomes a little bit cloudy, the vision of heaven, because we're too busy looking around us instead of looking up. But when you're about 80-something years of age and you haven't got many of your faculties left, and about the only one that God's still given you is the thought of heaven and home, you better thank God that there is heaven and there's a home. And we may not have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We may hear the Lord come and the shout the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and we get called home. But if we don't, I trust and pray that I'm like Garth, sitting in a chair saying, "I just can't wait to go home." Because not much else matters, does it, in life? You can be rich, you can be wealthy, you can be popular, you could be unpopular, but at the end of the day, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then heaven's your home. Don't get too attached to these things. And I was going to preach on heaven tonight, and I just didn't happen. It wasn't meant to be. But I had to mention that because it was a blessing to me, and it was a privilege just to see him. And I don't know if he remembers much, but I certainly remembered a whole lot. And it was a blessing to my heart just to see him there. But if you could turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And it is known as the Book of Wisdom. There certainly is a lot of things in this book when you read through it that grab your attention. And I find that every time you read through it, there's always seemed to be something different that gets your attention. It's always a challenge. This particular verse here, I've been thinking about this for a number of years, and it's a very important verse in the scriptures, and also as far as an individual is concerned, to consider, as is indeed the whole word of God. But some seem to stand out more than others, and this one just happened to stand out to me a little. But Proverbs chapter 4, and it's not a very long proverb, there's only 27 verses, so I'd like to read the proverb for us just to get the flow of the chapter. But Proverbs chapter 4, and just starting in verse number 1, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. Let's pray, shall we, and ask God to help us tonight as we look into his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've blessed us with. Lord, another privilege that we have to be able to come together in your house to meet with your people, to be able to sing praises to you, Lord, just to think, Lord, that heaven is our home, and Lord, we're just passing through here. Lord, may we have our eyes heavenward instead of stuck in this world, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would help us now, Lord, as we would look into your word. Pray you challenge my heart. Pray you speak to all of us. Lord, we'd all be, Lord, just refreshed, maybe challenged, encouraged, whatever we need, Lord. You'd meet us, Lord, at the needs we have. And that you'd be glorified. And lift it up, Lord, we pray this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's a number of proverbs which I have that are favourite proverbs. Even some of the chapters. Chapter 4 is perhaps one of those. And it's an interesting chapter in the book of Proverbs, because when you read through those first few verses, you find Solomon is kind of reminiscing of the past. And he says in the first verse, "Hear, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law." And those first three, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And then notice, "He taught me also." And he reflects on some of the things which happened when he was growing up. And Solomon here is giving some insight into how his dad taught him. And it's a blessing when you can look back on a childhood and remember some things that your parents taught you. And I know for some here, perhaps those memories may not be quite the same, but I've certainly been privileged and blessed to have grown in a home where the Word of God was taught, where the Word of God was upheld, and where we're encouraged to follow after the Lord. And Solomon says here, he said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. And then he goes through some things that he was taught. And if you look at various commentators, they have opinions on where this starts and finishes. Some say verse 13, some say chapter 9, some say all kinds of things. I'd think it ends somewhere in chapter 4. I'm not dogmatic on it, but I think Solomon does take up a thread, at least in verse 23. But David was a good dad, and he taught his son well. Now, if you look at all of David's sons, not all of David's sons turned out really good, did they? For whatever reason, we don't know. And some may assume that he taught some well and others not so well. I don't know. I do believe that every child has the ability to choose what they want to do in life. You're not just going to be what your parents are. You've got to make a choice. But thank God if you've got parents who encourage you to live for God. And Solomon says here, he said, one of the things that my dad taught me was to get wisdom, to get wisdom. And judging by the book of Proverbs, we could say that Solomon did take heed to what his dad said. And he wrote a book on it. And it's important as parents that we instill in our children their desire for God and a desire to please God and how we're going to actually achieve that. You know, it's one thing to say to someone, you just need to live for God. It's one thing to say that. But it's another thing to tell someone and to show someone how to do it. There's a big difference. And oftentimes we're guilty of just making statements and not following through with action. But I believe that David not only said, you better seek after wisdom, but he lived his life in such a manner as well. Now, we know King David wasn't perfect. But we do find written about King David that he said he had a heart that was after the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And it's important for us to understand this thing about the heart. It's the verse that I'd like to have a look at this evening. In verse 23. We'll read verse 20, sorry, through to verse 23. It says, "My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes." Notice this statement, "keep them in the midst of thine heart. Then for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And then notice verse 23, "keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I think all of us would agree that as a child, you're laying some sort of a pattern for your life. You're laying some sort of a pattern. Verse 21, "let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." And then verse 23, "keep thy heart with all diligence." So I believe he's saying this: it's important what goes into your heart, but once it gets in there, make sure it stays in there. Make sure it doesn't leave. Now, this idea here of keeping thy heart with all diligence is an interesting one, but it means this. It means to guard or to watch over. To keep means to keep, to watch, to guard. And the idea of with all diligence is to do so above all other things. So it means to keep and to guard above anything else. Now you say, why would it be the case that we need to keep the heart with all diligence? Well, because the rest of the verse declares it, "for out of it are the issues of life." It's an important thing. It's a very important thing. You see, the Bible tells us that with the mouth, confession is made, but we believe where? In the heart. See, it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to really mean it. And Solomon is saying here, he's saying, look, you get hold of wisdom and you get a hold of the truth, you get it in the heart and you guard that place. Now, interestingly enough, there's another entity who is just as interested in your heart as God is, and that's the devil. He's very interested in your heart. You see, because if you can control the heart, you control the individual. And for that reason, Solomon is saying this: above all things, keep, guard, protect your heart. You protect it. You look after it. You make sure that you keep it as a safe and secure place. Now, you won't be able to do that on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as my responsibility, I don't just pray, "oh Lord, you just keep my heart and I have nothing to do with it." No, I have some responsibilities. It doesn't just happen. You know, in the Christian life, we're unable to do anything without God's strength. We acknowledge that, don't we? But God doesn't just install everything into us like a computer program so that we run smooth. No, we have a responsibility to fight the good fight. You know, it doesn't get fought for us. We have a responsibility to keep our heart. Why? Because it's not just kept for us. We need to do something about it. Solomon says, keep it. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Now, if you think about it, that's a pretty sacred place, isn't it? It's a very sacred place. It needs to be guarded, it needs to be kept clean, it needs to be kept pure. You know, often you hear the phrase, well, I gave my heart to somebody. Have you heard that? What are they saying? When you say you gave your heart to somebody, well, basically we're saying this, everything that I am, everything that I have, I give to somebody, whoever that may be. Now, obviously, we know who that heart really should belong to. And the Lord Jesus answered the question when they said to him, they said, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the first commandment? And what did he say? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? All thy heart? Why the heart first? Because if you don't love with the heart, it doesn't really mean as much. You can love with emotion. You can love with your will. But when you love with your heart, it means a lot more, doesn't it? And that's why God wants our heart. He wants the love from the heart, because if it comes from the heart, it's genuine. You know, the reason why oftentimes we hear the preaching of the Word of God and people sit under the preaching, and it's a great message, and I'm not saying this is a great message, but there's a great message being preached, and we go, yeah, that's good, that's great, we need to put that into practice, and we go out here and lo and behold, nothing changes. Do you know the reason why? Because it never got into the heart. It never was planted in the heart. It was a fantastic idea. But nothing took root because it was not instilled. It was not placed in the heart where it ought to have been. And there was a mental assent, but not a heart assent. That's the reason why. Because there's a heart problem. And you can see Christians who go week after week, after month, after year, and just keep doing exactly the same problems all over again every single time. Why? Because there's no change in the heart. And that's why Solomon says, you get a hold of these things, you get them in the heart, and then you protect it. You guard it with diligence, with some soberness, with some seriousness about the whole thing. Because if you don't, it'll go. It'll be like those verses which start off like this, and it came to pass, didn't stay, just came to pass. You say, well, how do we sort of keep this heart with all diligence? Well, I believe the next four verses give us some good practical measures of doing so. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Put away some things. One is a froward mouth. What's a froward mouth? Well, it's a fraudulent or a deceitful. Now, I believe it's more than just me stopping that. I believe it's talking just as much about what I'm listening to. You see, the heart needs some information coming in to affect it, doesn't it? You see, it's what goes in that has an effect. The things that go in, and I believe Solomon's saying this, you need to be careful what you say, but you need to be careful what you're listening to. You know, whole generations have been changed because of listening to just garbage. Man's philosophy. You look at how Hitler's youth were indoctrinated. It was by what they heard. Froward. Perverse. But it influenced an entire nation for evil. Solomon says, listen, put away that kind of stuff. Be careful what you listen to. You know, you think about just ourselves, not quite such a national level, but look about just on a personal level and the people you spend time with. Now, I'm going to be careful here and say this. You don't just hang around people who you identify with and who you feel comfortable with. Or should we no help to those who are struggling? Okay, let's get that straight. Too many people gravitate to everyone who makes me feel good. We're on the same page, on the same level. That's wonderful. But the person over behind you who's struggling, you're no help to them. All right, so let's keep a balance. I'm not trying to say we cross out everyone who's struggling and we just mix. You understand what I'm getting at? All right, we need to be a blessing to everyone. But who we're listening to? The advice we're getting. the messages and the preaching, the books, and all these things that we can come across, the internet, and what we're listening to. It's going to go somewhere. And guess where it's going to go? It's going to go into your heart. And if you're not careful, if you're not guarded, if you're not on the lookout, it'll have an effect on the direction that you'll take. Many have been a good man, a good woman, who got into the wrong material and ended on the wrong path. What they're listening to. You say the internet is an incredible tool. It is, but it's an incredible trap as well. An incredible trap. You've got to be wise. What are we listening to? Where are we getting our advice from? Who's feeding us with this information? Because Solomon says you need to guard your heart. And in guarding your heart, you need to guard your ears. What did the Lord Jesus say to those around him? He said, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Why? Because it'll have an impact in your heart. Put away. Don't listen to the wrong stuff. You know, I've heard so many times people say, but it doesn't affect me. It has already affected them. And they're unbeknownst to them. You can't keep feeding yourself with those things and not go unaffected. You know, this, you know, crude humour. I just use it because it came to mind. Oh, but I don't use crude humour. Yeah, but it'll make you think crude thoughts. It'll affect your heart. So I'm not going around telling crude. You may not be, but you're probably thinking it. Why? Because it's in your heart now. See the problem? See, what we're listening to impacts us. Psalms, so look, keep your heart. And if you want to keep it, you're going to have to keep your ears. Keep your ears. Learn how to be discerning in what's being said. Is it biblical? Is it biblical what's being said? It's very important. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That's the next thing. He says, goes from the ears to the eyes. Be careful what you're looking at. You see, your heart is being fed from these avenues, isn't it? From what you hear and what you're seeing. What do we look at? You know, too often we're inquisitive with our eyes, aren't we? Solomon says, look straight ahead. You know, have you heard that? You heard the expression, you know, he took a side look. He's not looking straight ahead. I want to read something. It's a good statement. It's true. It's a comment made by a former Detroit police inspector, Herbert Chase. He said this. He said, not everyone who reads pornography is a sexual deviant, but all sex deviants read it. He went on to say this, there has not been a sex murder in the history of our department in which the killer was not an avid reader of lewd magazines. They go together. They follow one another as night follows day. Don't say it doesn't affect me. You ask, does pornography lead to degeneracy? Pornography is degeneracy. It doesn't lead to it. It's what it is. What did he say? He says, look, not everyone who looks at it is going to end up as a sex offender. But every sex offender looks at it. Not a case without it. Do you get the point? What you look at affects your heart. What did the Lord Jesus say? Out of a man's heart proceedeth these things. Now how does it get there? Well, you plant a seed. And when the seed grows, it brings forth behaviour. You say, well, not everyone who looks at it becomes that. No, they don't. But there's still that in their head. There's still that in their heart. And the Lord Jesus says, if you look and lust, it's exactly the same thing. You see the seriousness of it. Guarding our eyes. And I know for men, it's an issue. And we need to be wise to it. We need to learn to look straight ahead when we're driving. Not looking out the rear vision mirror. For a second look and a third and a U-turn and... I'm not joking. Man, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, feel sorry for the men. They struggle with it. They need prayer in that area. We don't need to be harassed and condemned. We already know what it's like. I'm just making the point, though, that our eyes, men, look straight ahead. You say it's you don't get to see the scenery. That's a lot safer. And you'll keep your heart with all diligence. You know, what do we watch in our own time? Oh, well, it's just, you know, it's just a movie. It's only people acting. They're acting sinful acts. Look straight ahead, don't look over there. They should rename Hollywood Hollywood. This wicked stuff comes out of it. And too many times we say, oh, it doesn't affect me. What do you mean it doesn't affect you? You've been struggling in your Christian life for how many years and it doesn't affect you? It's reality. What we're really saying is this, I don't want to get rid of it. I'd rather try and maintain some sort of semblance of sanity and keep this other stuff. You can't do it. You have to keep your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. It's important. Well, now, ladies, I'm not going to let you get off with it. But, you know, the different things that are alluring to ladies, I don't know all they are. My wife talks to me about some things and we have an understanding. I know some things. I don't know all the details. I don't want to know all the details. But there are some things that will catch a lady off guard. Things they look at. It affects the mind and then the heart. And then you've got a problem. Solomon says, look, let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It's looking with intent, isn't it? It's not just a lazy, unguarded scan of the horizon, see what's coming up. No, it's disciplined. And it requires some commitment. It requires some, I am not going to look this. What did David say in Psalm 101? I will set no wicked thing before my what? Eyes. Was it a conscious choice or was it just accidental? No, it was a conscious choice. Lord, please help me not to look at the wrong thing. And then we go places where the wrong thing is. What were we thinking? Lord, please give me grace as I wander down this place all these half-naked people are. You kidding me? That's ridiculous. You know what's true though? We pray, Lord, give us strength, and then we weaken our resolve by doing something ridiculous. No, the wise person, what does he do? He lays up wisdom, and when he gets a hold of it, when it's biblical, he sits on it, puts up some walls, some fortifications, and he guards the place and says, none of this rubbish is coming in. Then he says, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. So what we're hearing, what we're seeing, and where we're going. You know, you can be determined not to listen to the wrong thing, you can be determined not to see the wrong thing, but you go the wrong direction, you're going to get all them out anyway. We mentioned it, eh? But it's true. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all what? All thy ways be established. This tells me that it requires some thought about what we're doing in life. It doesn't just happen. You know, if the average person just wanders through life with absolutely no regard as to what could be around the corner. Oh, but, you know, I just walk by faith. Yeah, you might. But when you walk by faith, it's not blind. It actually goes, you know what? There's a lion in the street and hides himself. Doesn't go out when the lion's on the street. Have you read the proverb? The simple pass on are what? They're destroyed. The wise person says, there's trouble. Let's stay indoors today. Ponder the path of thy feet. Look where you're going. Have a good look where you spend your time. We need to be careful with our friendships. Really careful. I've seen good people ruined by bad friendships. Good people. Now, you say, well, does it mean we don't have unsaved friends? No, you have unsaved friends. 100% you do. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, it says the Lord Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. But he didn't do what they did. And I don't believe he was around when they were doing what they were doing. Okay, he was wise. He's not thought, he was the Son of God. He's not going to go and present himself in a situation with all kinds of sin carried on and just be a part of it and sit down with the boys. That's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what he would do. Have him around for a meal. He'd go out for a coffee with him. He'd try and win him to himself. But there was an intent there to see the person saved, not to be like him and to hang out just for the sake of it. Good people get ruined by bad friendships. They really do. Where are you going with it? Be wise. Be wise. There are some friendships over the years which I've lost because people were heading in the wrong direction. Best mates. I've lost best mates over it. I'm not saying that because I'm any better than them. I'm just saying that's what happened. It's sad. I've seen good men, good women absolutely destroyed. Why? Because they didn't ponder the path of their feet. Oh, they were pretty concerned about what they were listening to. They were pretty concerned where they were watching, but they had no concern about where they were going. And it will affect you where you spend your time. Will affect you. It's only a matter of time. Just give it time. You say, I didn't fall the first time, and I didn't fall the second time. I haven't fallen for however long. You give it time and you'll fall. Because we're not supposed to hang around that kind of activity. We're not supposed to be around sinners when they're sinning. We're not supposed to indulge. We're not supposed to be around what? Wine bidders. What does it mean? They're in the act of it. We're sitting down like there's nothing wrong with them. What would have a problem with it? What would bother you? You know, people, all the things that, you know, people, just think about it. Ponder the path. Work it out and say, is it wise to do that or to be at this place or to head in this direction? And if it's not, don't go there. Don't partake of it. There are some events that you won't be able to participate in. Why? Because it's an occasion for the flesh. And you can have to say, sorry, I need to guard my heart. This means more to me than this little outing. This means more to me than maybe this relationship. This means more to me than most anything else. So I'm not going to be there. Now, you don't have to be offensive. And so you dirty, rotten bunch of sinners, you don't have to be like that. The Lord Jesus wasn't like that. He gave the Pharisees a hard time. But with the sinners, he loved them an awful lot, didn't he? Never condoned the sin. But just don't be a part of it. Stay away from it. Ponder the path of thy feet and let what? I love this. All thy ways. Well, I've got sort of an off day today. I can just do it. No, no, no. All your ways. All your days. Every place. All the time. The word of God is absolute when it comes to what we ought and ought not do. Aren't you thankful for that? Doesn't say, we'll just work it out and, you know, find a happy medium. Kind. No, no, no. All of them. Work it out. Get it right and stick with it. Amen? Then it says this, once you've got it all sorted, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. You need to stay straight. Stay straight. Don't get into this, what about over here? And what about over there? No. Get in the Word. Get some wisdom. Get it inside your heart. And guard that like nothing else. Solomon said this, when I was a young fella, my dad used to sit down with me and he'd tell me some wisdom. And I've never forgotten it. He was a good dad. Hey, he messed up a bit. I know he did. The Bible records it for him. But he did tell me some things about wisdom. And he told me some things about my heart. The importance of your heart. Because out of it come all the issues of life. You know, the difference between you living for the Lord and you not living for the Lord will revolve around whether you keep your heart or not. It really will. Because if your heart's not in it, you won't be in it either. Hey, it might sound good at the time, you might fit in here well. We all might fit in. It may be fantastic for some time, but if my heart is not in the Lord, if He don't have it and I'm not keeping check on it, it's only a matter of time, isn't it? It's just a matter of time. It's a good verse to memorise, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't know about you, but it's always a challenge when I have to kind of have a look in the heart. It's challenging for a couple of reasons. One, because I often find things that oughtn't be there. And number two, there's a lot of things I don't know there, but God knows, and I'm not prepared to let Him have a look. You know what David said? He said, "Search me, O God, and try my what? Try my heart." Be careful when you do heart check, you don't just gloss over. It's easy to do, isn't it? Have a quick look and quick polish and it's fantastic. But we're leaving things there that shouldn't be there. There's some things that we're listening to that we oughtn't be listening to. There's some things that we've been given a bit of a side look that we oughtn't be looking at. There's some places we've been frequenting. And there's some people that we've been hanging out with who've been negative in our walk for the Lord. They put a dampener on it. Why? Because when I go there, I have to just sort of, you know, morph into the surroundings. If you have to morph into your surroundings, you're in the wrong place, brother. Find some better company. If you have to be like them to fit in, you're in the wrong place. Ponder the path. Look where you're headed. Maybe take a look in the rear vision mirror, not in the car, but in your life, and say, where am I headed? Where have I come from? Where am I heading to? Because if you want to keep that heart secure, it's going to take some effort and some guarding. Ultimately, our heart should be the Lord, shouldn't it? Should belong to Him. But He has made us the custodian of it, that we need to guard it, to make sure it's in the right direction. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, oftentimes we get into passages like this, and Lord, to just reveal stuff to us that we don't like being revealed, and we feel a bit uncomfortable, we get a little bit awkward because we start touching on sensitive things that no one else can see. But that's the good thing about the Word of God, because it gets in there and divides right down deep and gets down to the nitty gritty of things. And Lord, You know our hearts, and I'm thankful that You do, because we often don't even have a clue what's going on inside our own. But Lord, if we'd be willing to let You have a look and to let You prompt us and to point out to us the things which we're struggling with or allowing or whatever it may be, Lord, I know that You'd be glorified, because we'd be more like You if our hearts were closer to You. And I pray you give us the first of all, the willingness. Lord, next, the grace to be able to deal with it. And then, Lord, then the resolve to be able to just go on with it. Lord, to put it in place and to secure it and to guard it so that we don't lose the things which you're trying to teach us tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who, Lord, at this time are just, they're not saved. They don't have a clean heart at all. Their heart doesn't belong to you. It's a wicked heart. They may not think it is, but Lord, in your sight, it's dirty. And they need to be changed from the inside out, Lord. I pray that you'd reveal to them their need, that they need to be saved. They need to get that stony heart in out and the heart of flesh in, Lord, the new heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in all of us. And we'd be willing, Lord, to let you have your will and way, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.